Support for agricultural programs comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. And now with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. The Labor Department today says that U.S. wholesale prices rose in January as freezing temperatures in the Southwest caused a spike in food costs. The producer price index rose 0.2% from December. It was the first time prices increased since September. The increase was driven by a 0.7 rise in food costs related to a freeze in California, Arizona, and northern Mexico, which disrupted production of crops such as broccoli, lettuce, and cauliflower. Sales of meat in Japan from U.S. cattle aged up to 30 months has resumed after a decade ban. Holding company 7NI imported 3 tons of meat from U.S. cattle aged up to 30 months for sale at its local supermarket chain stores. U.S. beef will retail for about 20 to 50% less than when it was restricted to meat from cattle aged only up to 20 months. Japan banned beef from the U.S. and Canada in 2003 because of mad cow disease. Beef from both countries started coming back in 2006, limited to meat from cattle aged 20 months or younger. The limit went up to 30 months on February the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 14,032, now 31, is down just over 4 points. The NASDAQ at 3210 is down almost 3. The S&P 500 is 1528. It's down 2.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A major winter storm continues to get underway across the central U.S. plains this morning, with snow and rain being reported across portions of Kansas and Oklahoma. Storm system will become very intense as we go through the latter part of the day today and overnight tonight and into the morning tomorrow. System will then start to move off to the northeast, impacting a part of the Midwest, but it will be in a weakening trend as it does so. We do expect to see the most significant precipitation in the U.S. hard red winter wheat country seen since the end of April last year, and moisture totals will be substantial in some locations, especially in the interior sections of western Kansas, central Kansas, northern parts of Kansas, as well as south central Nebraska. All of these areas will likely end up with 6 to 12 inches of snow, with local totals upwards to 20 inches, and moisture totals probably running from a half inch to about an inch and a quarter, with a few counties maybe getting a little bit more than that, maybe over an inch and a half perhaps. The areas to the west will probably see a little bit lighter amounts of moisture, maybe something of the order of a quarter to three quarters of an inch for far western Kansas and far western Nebraska and eastern Colorado, with the exception of the southeast part of Colorado. And from there down to the western parts of the Texas Panhandle, moisture totals will probably not be much more than a quarter of an inch. As we go forward in time, though, the storm system will head off to the northeast, but it will run out of fuel as it does so, and precipitation totals in the upper Midwest will not be anywhere near as impressive as those that I've just described. Portions of Iowa will likely see upwards to a foot in the southwest part of the state, but the northeast will probably see something of the order of 3 to 5 inches. Wisconsin and southern Minnesota will probably not see much more than 1 to 4 inches. The storm system will produce rain across the rest of the Midwest and parts of the Delta and southeastern states, but the intensity of the precipitation will be much lighter than that which has been associated with previous storm systems. The big question being posed this morning, is this the start of a new trend? The answer to that is no, not quite yet. But I do think that the storm system in the plains and western Corn Belt over the next couple of days will be a bit of a foreshadow of what will likely come later in March and April. We do expect to see relief from storms similar to this take place during that period of time. In the rest of the Midwest, though, in the bulk of it, actually, we expect to see a cool weather biased pattern starting to evolve here for a little while. After we get these next couple of storm systems to move across the region, it's likely to get fairly chilly across a part of the region and stay that way for a little while. Now, we do have a little follow-up disturbance, so we'll likely bring a second wave of snowfall across the upper Midwest as we finish out the weekend and move into early next week. That will likely produce light snowfall. Maybe a few areas, though, could see 2 to 5 inch accumulations, and the moisture content will be relatively light. The lower eastern Midwest will see a mix of rain changing to snow, and moisture content will probably run up to a quarter or maybe local 3 or 4 tenths of an inch amounts. After that storm system passes, we'll be in a cooling trend, and we'll likely see temperatures below average through a fair amount of next week and into the following weekend. And the cool weather will help to suppress some of the storminess across the region, at least for a little while. It doesn't mean it'll be completely dry, but we'll see a little bit less in the way of significant precipitation for parts of the region. Temperatures over these next few days are going to be bouncing around a bit. Certainly the coldest air will be in the northwest part of the region, where temperatures this afternoon will be held to the single digits and teens. In contrast to that, we'll probably see high temperatures in the lower eastern Midwest running in the 20s and 30s, which is definitely cooler than it should be this time of the year. We'll expect to see the cool weather hang on for a little bit in the northwest, but the southeastern areas will warm up a little bit ahead of the storm systems I've mentioned. On Friday afternoon, we'll see temperatures in the 40s and some 50s occurring in the Ohio River Valley, and then that will quickly abate as we move towards the first part of next week as some of the cooler air from the plains works its way across the Midwest again. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Want to avoid the long registration lines at our 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting? Call 217-333-7300 and order your tickets now for the March 5th event at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. They're $25, along with a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. You'll hear special presentations on farmland values for 2013, diversifying your operations with livestock, the changing nature of the southern U.S. farm, and, of course, our money-making soybean, corn, and cash grain panels. Call 217-333-7300 with your major credit card, and we'll mail your tickets right out to you. The day of the event, walk in through our VIP entrance. And fewer than 30 tickets remain for that event. So if you had intent on going, fair warning, why don't you call this morning at 217-333-7300. Let's look at the electronic trade. March wheat in Kansas City, 768 down 1. In Chicago, 730.5 down 1 and 3 quarters. March corn, 693.5 down 1 and 3 quarters. July, 677.5 down 2 and 3 quarters. December, 557 down 3 quarters. March beans, 1481 and 3 quarters, up 11.5. July, 1454 up 8.5. November, 1280.5 up 5 and 3 quarters. March soybean meal, 431 up 570. March soybean oil, 5249 down 4. February live cattle, 126.62.5 up 22.5. March feeders, 143 down 17.5. April lean hogs, 83.20 up 15. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you.
You know, the beans, no one, I would have thought, expected to see what we saw in the last two trading days in beans yesterday and thus far the overnight, and yet corn has not gone with it. Is that put corn on alert?
You know, I think that it does, and the big takeaway on the beans is we've known the situation has been relatively tight. We've had good crush margins and exports to China, and all of a sudden the market really didn't want to engage it, and we think that they're basically saying that sense of urgency grows until basically one day that the catalyst hits and the market responds, and that's what happens in your bean market, 40 or 50 cents worth. You know, I think the corn market definitely could have that. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how we work through the delivery process. March options expire Friday. First notice day is the end of the month. And once we get into that March delivery period, see how basis responds and see how the futures market responds.
I got to wonder if after we get through these outlook meetings in D.C., well, Virginia, the end of this week, whether or not we're going to look at corn and say what 550 sub looks like.
You know, it's very possible, but you got to look and say when most of those numbers were collected. I think realistically, they're projections and their historic numbers, they aren't really moving forward or looking forward. And I think the market really needs to engage that forward-thinking process right now, because we really do have a tight situation on our hands that can be remedied with a good production season, but we need to be mindful that we still have to get to next fall before we have any real comfort level.
So right after the end of this week, we're going to start thinking about planting intentions and planting possibilities and weather.
Yes, I think that's indeed correct. And right now, it's too soon to talk about the weather, but I think as we get closer to April crop condition reports, that's going to be a growing concern, especially for the wheat guys.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace: March corn, 693 and three quarters, down 1.5. July, 677 and a half, down 2.75. December, 557, down 3/4. March beans, 1481 and a half, up 11.25. July, 1455, up 9.5. November, at 1280 and a quarter, is up 5.5. March soybean meal, 431, up 570. March soybean oil, 5247, down 6 cents. And March wheat in Chicago, 730.5, down 1.75. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.